Second session. Sorry about the temperature. Our heaters up here aren't working. We got the heat and air coming out. Fix it tomorrow. Figure out what's going on. I wonder if any other Christians ever suffered like this. Okay, we're in 2 Peter here, 3:5. We'll read the verse again. With regard to that group of people in there, a significant group of people, who in ancient times and up to the present time have attacked the doctrine of fiat creation. And this also is a result of their antagonism to the promise of his coming, verse 4, which they try to blow off and say that nothing, they take a false premise that all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation, which is not true. Big events have occurred in human history. In other words, it isn't the old doctrine of uniformitarianism, that everything just continues to inch along with evolution and all the rest of it. No, they'll invent some big events. They'll say a meteor hit the earth and killed the dinosaurs, or whatever they do. Okay, they make this stuff up. Please, people, understand. They make this stuff up. This isn't based on hard science. They misinterpret the stuff they see on the ground because they rule out Noah's flood. This was a monster event that destroyed the post-diluvian world except for 8 people and started all over again with 8. Really, technically 6, because Noah and his wife were through having children. They had 3 boys, and they had 3 wives, and we all came from that. All of us. Not from semi-evolving primates in some jungle. They still teach this. It's just comical. But it's sick, too. But these mockers attacking this, they make a statement about creation here. It escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And of course, we have verse 6, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. That's Noah's flood. And the evidence for that is everywhere. Big evidence for a universal flood. Anyway. Point 24. Okay, it's 23. The second thing that Peter says is that the product of the omnipotent word is earth's topography. Let's focus on that. Terra firma, or as we call it, dry land. The words, and the earth was formed out of water, a different preposition, ek, and by water, preposition dia, through water. Water as an agency draws our attention to Genesis 1, 9 and 10, which has to do with the D plus 3 of the restoration week. Now, we'll go back to Genesis 1. See, they had to debunk Genesis, particularly Genesis 1. It stands out. It's the opening revelation of God, and it's logical that it would talk about the origin of the earth and the state that it came to be in. So we have a general doctrine of creation. It's pointed out that in a beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, pause, take a deep breath. That's original creation. We know from a supporting verse in Job that there were eyewitnesses to this. Angels. The whole angelic race before the fall of Satan and his and the angels that went, that jumped over to, with him. They all saw it. In fact, they were created. That means they had to be created first. They're spirit beings, and unless they reveal themselves in a certain way, invisible. They're very complicated, their makeup. So God spoke into existence the angelic race. So they would be eyewitnesses of this creation of this earth. And they were. And there's a verse in Job that says that they were all given a heads up, and they all sang in celebration. I don't think it came, personally, I don't think it came into existence just like that. I don't. I think the earth as we know it, not that spinning ball thing. There's a spinning ball out there and nothing. Nuts. It is this footstool, and of course above it is the throne room. This has got to be massive. It has got to be way bigger than the earth as far as the dimensions. If it's in a square, all that, you can stand on it, walk on it. It's tangible. So that was brought into existence. But Genesis just starts with the origin of our earth, because we need to know its history, its origin and history. So let's take a look at Genesis here and quickly. The second verse, we haven't started the creation, I'll call it, I prefer the word, because things were created during the week, obviously, that didn't previously exist, so that's fine. But I prefer to call it the restoration of the earth, to view the fact that something really bad happened to it down here. The earth was or became is a preferred translation. Formless and void. I think you know what that means. It's not attractive, it's ugly, and it's void of whatever, plants and what have you. It's void. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. Now, if I back off on this, here's the picture I get. The whole surface of the earth is under water. And darkness above that, which adds up to what? An ice pack. A frozen ice pack. This is a judgment. And there's a verse in Isaiah that said that God did not create the earth formless and void, or my like the Hebrew, tohu wa bohu, without form and void. He didn't create it that way. It was a judgment. And obviously it was a judgment put down by God for something that happened, which I presume is the angelic revolution led by Satan or Lucifer. And as a result of that, and I don't know who knows how long the earth was in its pristine condition and the angels were behaving themselves, to the period where Satan was the first to fall, and then he was given time to propagandize the entire angelic race, and one third of them went with him. That's in the book of Revelation. One third. That's how I get the data. One third, however billions of angels there are, or spirit beings. All right. So someone suggested that this was the habitat and playground of the angels, and that what did they do? There was no humans. What did they do? Did they make stuff? I don't know. That is a dark area for me, and I don't have to know. I just know that this place was made unattractive, uninhabitable. Tohu wa bohu. So the earth is covered with water. No continent is visible. It's darkness on the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God. Here's our introduction, the first time in the Bible, to the third person of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit. He's involved in this process. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And guess what he's doing? He's not just moving. He's omnipresent, so he's everywhere at once. Some activity is going on. He's thawing out the majority of the ice pack. Not all of it, but a big swash of it is all being thawed out. So what when that's done, see, this is preparatory to D plus one of restoration. Thaw out the ice pack. It's still dark, okay? You see the picture. It's all dark, but the Holy Spirit is moving over the surface of the deep for a purpose. And that is to thaw out the ice pack is the presumption. So it's liquid water. We can work with that for hydrodynamics. We can't do that with ice. Then God said, let there be light. This is fiat creation. It's an example. You and I can say, let there be something all we want to, and it won't happen. Let there be $1 million in my checking account when I get there today. God could say that, and you'd have it. So, there you are. Let there be. Let there be light. And there was light. So the whole thing is lit up now. There's no dark spots. There's no... Okay, let me get... I want to be sure I'm here. Then God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. So the darkness wasn't eliminated, excuse me, but there's a separation between light and darkness. This is our first introduction to the doctrine of separation. The light has no affinity with darkness. Light can shine into the darkness and dissipate the darkness. So it becomes a spiritual lesson, which we won't go into. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day. You've got to have terminology to describe things. You can't just run around and say light, light, light. So you have to have a technical name for when the light is visible over a given area, we call it daytime. He called light day, yom. And the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. So the movement of this light versus this darkness thing caused the first day of human of the earth's history, as we know it, to occur. And as each of these days, and something happens on them, there's a statement. And there was evening, and there was morning. Evening ends the day, morning starts the day. D plus one. One day. The first day. And this is all that, I say all, this is all that happened. Then God said, let there be, and this is a bad translation, the New American Standard, but I understand what they're thinking this is, and it isn't. Let there be a firmament, King James Version, because based on the word which I'm not going into, but it has to do with something that's firm and substantial. In the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. What? That's the dome. That's the dome. And this is supported by the fact that when the flood occurred, the floodgates of heaven released water for the 40 days and 40 nights of rain. Because before the flood, there was no rain showers, no thunderstorms, nothing. That's not how the earth was watered for the people that lived before the flood. And so, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and separated the waters which were below the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. and called the firmament heaven, singular. And there was evening, and there was morning, D plus two. That's the dome. That's the dome. And it separates the water. There's waters above this dome. In what configuration and how it's held up there, I don't have a clue. You're going to have to die and go to heaven to work out all the specifics. But the dome is heaven. So you got, there are three heavens. There's the one from the earth, through our atmosphere, up to the top of the dome, up to the edges of the dome. And then the dome, it's the dome, whatever its thickness, and there's a description of it, by the way, in Ezekiel, of a crystalline-type material. Kind of opaque. And this dome covers the earth, and it's the second heaven. And of course, the throne room and everything up there, according to, I believe it's in Corinthians, it's called the third heaven. There's not other heavens beyond that. Okay. And God called the firmament heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. 9. All right. Let me get here what I have on this. The words, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, draws our attention to Genesis 1 and also 9 and 10. So I moved through all these. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth. There's your terminology again. And the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, okay, all right. So what do we get on this third day? What we get on the third day is two things. We get a continental lift. The earth is pulled up, and this water seeks its lowest level. And so by raising this up, the water runs off and forms seas. This is a massive lift, and the only explanation for it is God lifted it up with his power. And so we get the earth on that. We get two projects done that day. We get the earth, terra firma. And then God said, see, this is divine fiat. He said it happens. Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit. The emphasis here seems to be on those kind of plants that are for consumption, with seed in them, that's so they can reproduce themselves. They've got to have the seed. Apple seed in an apple? Okay. After their kind, and God saw that it was good. There was evening, and there was morning, D plus three. So we get two things on the third day. Now, why the third day is important here is D plus three of restoration, point 25. First, let us dispense with the foolish notion that views this phrase as having anything to do with the creation myths of Assyria, Babylon, Egypt, etc., which pictured the primeval ocean as the element out of which the creation originated. Something crawled out of the ocean. They still have that in evolution. Used to, anyway. I don't know what their most up-to-date garbage is. I don't have any idea. Peter is not saying that the heavens and the earth was made out of water. 29. In order to conceptualize what happened on Restoration Week, we need to appreciate what precedes in the Genesis 1 narrative, which I've gone over. And I'll read this quickly. Genesis 1:1 simply and eloquently records original creation, which should be distinguished from the days of restoration. Genesis 1:2 is here considered a separate and subsequent development from what is recorded in 1:1. I explained that. The original earth was a pristine along with the third heaven. The earth was not originally created in the condition found in Genesis 1-2. Oh, that other verse where it said God did not create the earth, tohu wabo, is Isaiah 45:18. Therefore, God had to restore the earth so that it could support his special creature, Homo sapien. Man. That's the last. That'll be done on D plus 6. Nothing was done on D plus 7 to teach the principle of the Sabbath and rest, and that people shouldn't work 7 days a week with no rest. It's not healthy. Something terrible had happened to the earth, which was presumably the result of the angelic revolt. 34. We know it came to a dreary strait, the dreary state. Recorded in Genesis 1-2. The earth, for an unspecified period of time, was in total darkness, which is the clear implication from what happened on D plus 1 of restoration, and what is explicitly stated in 1-2, and darkness was over the face of the deep. 36. So the absence of light means that the earth was extremely cold and that whatever water was there was frozen. The whole surface of the earth was an ice pack. 38. This fact is based on the words, the deep, and what we find happening on D plus 3 when a massive landmass arose from the previously frozen depths. 39. The Holy Spirit moved over the surface of the waters, thawing the ice pack. So there was water on the earth when it was judged. 41. God the Holy Spirit, who possesses the attributes omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, thawed all the ice leaving the surface of the globe. Sorry, that slipped in. Covered with water. Some of my old notes, and I didn't get all the words out of there. Over the face of the earth. D plus 1, the Shekinah glory served the earth until D plus 4, when the sun and lesser lights were created and set under the dome. On D plus 2 of restoration, God created the firmament, dome, separating the waters below from the waters above. 44. The next logical thing is to put in place was dry land, as a place where land-breathing creatures and plants could flourish. 45. As this massive continent was raised from the depths, there was significant water runoff. That's what water does, which sculpted the earth's visible topography. This corresponds to Peter's earth was formed by water. 47. So the words out of water and by water make sense. Before the flood, the earth had a radically different geography and climate. Completely, radically different. So much so that it's going to explain some things for instance, before the flood, the oxygen level under the dome was much higher. You've probably all heard of oxygen therapy. You can go to a place and lay down and give them $100, I don't know what it is, and put oxygen over you, and just suck in oxygen. It's supposed to be good for health, mental health, and the rest of it. And so what is suggested here is that plants and other things, because experiments have been done, I was told this secondhand, that someone took and put tomato plants in an enclosure and just pumped oxygen in there. And these tomatoes got humongous. And the plants. So there's been a difference in these kind of things, so that some of the trees before the flood, way bigger than the biggest trees we have today, like the redwoods in California. Monster. Things got bigger. I don't know all the details. We'll have to see it when we get into phase 3. But I think a lot of questions will be answered. The earth had essentially one ecosystem, the greenhouse effect, with a dome, with a tropical, more or less, climate. Because in Genesis it says, between night and day, it only varied a few degrees. Just a few degrees. Not these big swings. And there were no storms, there was no snow, there was no... all this stuff. The result was the formation of rivers and valleys and hills and plains to break up what would have been otherwise a monotonous landscape. It wasn't the big mountains we got now. They didn't have those. They did not have like the Himalayan, the Rockies, and all the rest of them. That comes in connection with the flood. Liberalism eschews the Bible as a reliable source of information when it comes to earth science. They just blow it off. Well, they're going to get it shoved in their face soon, so like so many other things. So this important statement or fact escapes their notice. You know, this is true in conclusion today, that if people aren't positive to certain doctrines, it just flies by them. You could explain it all day to them. And this goes for other doctrines too. That why has so much that we establish as true in Maranatha, in the general fundamentalist realm of Christianity, why is it not being taught out there? What are they doing? Because they have a prejudice against certain things. I illustrated with the blood of Christ. I could illustrate with the what else could I illustrate with? Well, the flat earth and all these other things. The U.S. and prophecy. I could illustrate with that. You think they got this by now? I noticed this week that the person that got me onto the subject that there could not be a rapture without Israel being reborn as a nation was a Mr. Hal Lindsey. He wrote a book, The Late Great Planet Earth. I got it in Bible school down in Arkansas, and I didn't have enough to defend or condemn it. I just put it aside. And then I got on doctrine, and then on doctrine I got to thinking about it. Yeah, Israel has to be reestablished as a nation before we can even begin to talk about the rapture. It cannot happen before that because it's nonsensical. No Israel, no rapture. There was a theologian back in time that said the same thing in early American history. He said, no Israeli nation, no rapture, no coming of the Lord. You have to have him in place because they're the centerpiece and the focus of the whole book of Revelation, basic. Well, not the whole book, but a lot of it. So anyway, that's being taught. But so much of this isn't being taught. And so as a result of turning up their noses at things like the true doctrine of the blood of Christ, the identity of the Antichrist, the U.S. and prophecy, and other things, it escapes their notice. You don't want it? You don't get it. I don't care how damn smart you are. And I don't know how much doctrine you have otherwise. You will not listen and hear the subject out from top to bottom. Boom. All right, we'll see you next time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.